Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Hello, you fabulous interior design professional. Welcome to Business of Design. Can you believe it? Episode 370. I love the title of this episode. Help! I need an assistant. You ever felt that way? I certainly have. And if you're anything like me, you've tried it many, many, many times, and sometimes with no success at all. And that's what we're going to talk about, the hiring process or the thought process that leads to getting the right hire. And I get it. You are so busy. You're so busy. No matter how hard you try, you can't seem to get all the work done, right? I feel you. Working weekends, working evenings, even taking work on vacation with you. Maybe your spouse is pitching in, doing paperwork and pricing selections, and even sending reminders to clients about overdue invoices. And despite all this effort and your willingness to work 24/7, still, it's hard to stay on top of everything, right? So obviously you need someone to help you out of this mess, someone who can prepare the invoices, someone who can correspond with clients, someone maybe who can check on your email, deal with overdue payments, create purchase orders, manage procurement, manage the trades on a job site. Oh my gosh, hiring someone, that has to be the solution. Well, trust me, convinced I needed to hire, knowing it was time to begin the search, and then launching my really poor hiring system years and years ago was a disaster. There's a much better way. We're going to talk with a lovely interviewee. Her name is Gina Kottner, and she runs the Athena Executive Services firm, and they find virtual assistants for people wherever they live. And she's going to talk about what she's learned over the past 15 years in interviewing and searching for and finding those key help providers to busy entrepreneurs like us. At the end of the episode, Jean is going to tell you how to get in touch with her, but all of that information is in the show notes. And I'll tell you what isn't in the show notes. Cheryl Horn. Yeah, you just can't fit her in show notes. She's just too special. So quickly, we'll hear announcements from Cheryl Horn. And I should say this as well. If you are thinking it might be time to hire, we have the most amazing hiring process there is, period, bar none. You can either take the video courses about the hiring process at Business of Design, or you can purchase our operations manual, and it has all the collaterals and exact details on how to do it. It's a very complicated process, but it's all written out for you to follow. So by all means, we would appreciate your support. Think about that hiring package from Business of Design. And let's hear what Cheryl Horn has to tell us about what we've been up to or what we're going to be up to soon. We're really glad you're here.
Thanks, Kimberly. Well, April is always a busy month for us here at Business of Design because we are running our boss meetings. And actually, two of them are happening this month in Australia, which is super exciting. Coming up later this month is our next BOD Live. And we are going to be focusing on the BOD 15. So it will just be open coaching, but we've had a lot of new members join us this year, which is amazing. Most of our members do start with Business of Design's 15-step project management strategy. Join us on April 24th and get your questions answered. So you do still have time if you're thinking about joining. It's a great time because you can dive into that program and then join us live face-to-face with Kimberly, myself, and your fellow members to ask questions about the BOD 15 program. And then really just to save the date, coming up October 26th, we're going to be celebrating 20 years of Business of Design at High Point Market. During the day, we have a seminar series in partnership with Daniel House Club. And then you can join us at 3 o'clock on the Anmore stage, Suites at Market Square, for a celebration and a seminar, Kimberly will be sharing 20 things that she's learned that transformed her business over the last 20 years. So you don't want to miss that. Details are on the website. We will be adding to that over the coming months as we know more. We do have an RSVP on there. That's really just to let us know that you're coming. If you're attending High Point Market, make sure you register with them directly. That will be open in a couple months as well. But please save the date, attend High Point Market, and join us to celebrate 20 years of Business of Design. Thanks so much.
Hey, Gita, how are you?
Hey, Kimberly, I'm great. Thank you.
Tell everybody where you are phoning in from.
Today, I'm phoning in from a little beach town called Pismo Beach, California, on the central coast of California.
I know where Pismo Beach is. I had a boyfriend in high school, and his family used to go, was it ATVing? What did they call those big,
yes,
big fat tires? Yeah. Yeah, I was
riding
really annoyed.
The dunes.
They never took me, but it sounds very like romantic and picturesque and all that kind of stuff. It's probably much, it was back then anyway, it's probably really rugged and gross and I would have hated it, but there you go. But we are not here to talk about ATV rides. We are going to talk about something I think is going to be a lot more interesting to the interior designers who are listening to this podcast right now. And that is how to get an executive assistant. How many times have we all thought, I wish I had someone who could do some of this for me? So I want to talk about, you know, how do you identify that you're at the point where you need to hire someone? How do you hire them properly? How do you train them? There's so many questions. I'm not even sure where to start, Gina. You probably have some idea.
Yeah, well, it is all a matter of where are you at in the phase? You know, have you been thinking about it for 2 years? Is this just a new notion? Are you ready to shop? Are you not ready to shop? So let's just say, when are you ready? So when are you ready? Well, it's like, when are you, on the one hand, when are you sick enough, so to say,
higher
of doing
than
things?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're really over it. You know, you're really over it. Now, what's the it? There are certain things I know for me, I just was like, if I have to do this one more time, because I've done it 500 times, whether it's screening people coming into my company or sending invoices or updating the CRM. I'm like, I have done this enough. I am so, I don't enjoy it, or I don't want to do it, or I'm moving on. I got to move on. This is not the highest and best use of me. That's when you want to start looking. And you might think, gosh, I don't know if I can afford it, except it's not the highest and best use of you to be, you know, updating your CRM and going into Trello or Asana or Basecamp or, you know, doing all these things that you are repetitive that you've got to do every single week. So I think, you know, everybody, I think it's useful to just start a list of what are those things that you're not good at, or you're great at it, but man, you hate doing it. It's just soul sucking for you. Or it's just, you know, you're over it. You're tired of doing it. I would start that kind of list. And that's kind of when you know.
We call that the love it and loathe it list. What do I loathe doing? And that would be, you know, some of the things you mentioned for sure. The problem often is by the time you realize you can't do it another minute, you are exhausted and you might even be in a situation where you're sort of, you know, overworked and desperate. And then at least my experience is I just grab someone and it's usually kind of a disaster. So what's the mindset we need to be in before we begin the search for the person who can fulfill the need?
I think the mindset is start with that list. What are the things you're looking for? And then start shopping. And I would start shopping, not necessarily with a commitment to buy, but to get educated about what's out there. The other thing I would do is spend a little bit of time thinking once you look at your list and you go, okay, what if I did turn over all the invoicing to somebody? What if I did turn over all the meeting preparation to somebody? What might they need? You know, so you could spend a little bit of time ahead of time crafting and looking to see, okay, what files would they have to go into? And I look in my files and I'd go, oh, well, I know what document they should pull up, but no sane person would know which file in this folder is the one I'm talking about, right? So on the one hand, you could get your house in order a little bit, but another mindset is you bring them in to get your house in order. So you could bring somebody in and say, listen, I'm going to send you into some files, some folders, some software, and it's kind of a mess. And that's why I need you. Mm-hmm. So I need you to come in and get it organized while we're moving things forward.
I've been in all those situations where I've hired someone to get my stuff organized. That has not been as successful for me as having procedures and systems that I could hand off to that person. And that's what you were talking about. You know, before you invite someone in to do your bookkeeping, what are the steps to doing the bookkeeping? You could write them down in an operations manual. We've done that, but we've also videotaped different scenarios, which is really quick and easy. Here's what I'm doing. I open this folder, then this folder, then this folder, then this folder. And somebody could at least watch that and have some idea of what it is you're trying to get done.
Exactly. That's a great way to do it. And even whenever the day comes that you do hire an executive assistant or a virtual executive assistant or a virtual assistant, whatever angle you take, it is going to be an investment of your time and your money. And I think that is just a mindset to get in so that when you bring somebody on board, you're not frustrated like, oh, why did I have to show them all of this? Well, because you're investing in a future you. So it may not be immediate relief, but it's the who you're going to get to be and the kind of life you're going to get to live 3 months from now that you're investing in. So the more training you can provide up front, great. If you don't have a lot of time, you provide what you can provide. If all you can do is give them your travel information and, you know, I like aisle seats and I like to fly in the morning and here's my United Airlines number. And, you know, like there's certain things like that, which you'll give them and you will never, ever, ever have to give them again.
Yeah, I think that is the problem for so many of us. It's the slowing down to write out what is going to be required in specific detail. Not just, I need you to book my flights, but exactly what you said. I fly in the morning, has to be first class or business class or, you know, whatever. I want the vegetarian meal option. There's so many things that could be done ahead of time, but you do have to tell them the one time.
Yeah. And you can put the burden on them. So if you get a high caliber executive assistant, which is what I recommend, I want somebody who can think, and I want somebody who can think with me and for me, not somebody for whom I've got to plan out the 10-step process so then I can give it to them. I want to plan out maybe step 1, 2, 3, and then say, text me what questions you have. So there's also a mindset shift in how you partner with somebody. I give the whole project to my EA. I say, I need this project done. I know you've never done this kind of project before. And I can get you started and we're going to get started in the right direction. And then now I work for you. I'm on your team. My job is to have you win, but you are owning the project. You come back to me and you say, Gina, I need help with this. Or I ran into this roadblock. While she's doing certain work, I'm doing other work, which is my return on investment. And I'm available. I'm open. I say, Corrine is my EA. I say, Corrine, let me know what questions you have when you run into them. Meanwhile, I'm over here doing other stuff.
Yeah. And little by little, there are fewer and fewer questions because you become a team. You become a well-oiled machine. One of the things that's really tricky to wrap your mind around is the very first person you hire may not be your dream fit. So one of the traps I fell into was I would explain to this person what I wanted orally, and then some time would go by, they would leave, and I'd have the next person come and I'd have to do it again. So just writing it down or videotaping it the one time is so smart.
Yeah, really true. And you might, and that combined with as you're orally telling your EA, have them write it down. They don't know they may be with you for 1 month or 3 years. We don't know. Something may happen. They may be gone in 3 months, but maybe they are also part of your quote unquote documentation team.
Would you say it's fair that one of the things that makes it a challenge for many of us to hire effectively a good assistant, virtual assistant or executive assistant is this idea that we have a hard time letting go of control. We've been running our own businesses so long and we're just afraid someone's going to drop the ball. And it's so hard to let anybody do anything.
Yeah. Of course, and absolutely. And I'll tell you, I thought when I was an executive assistant before I turned this into a firm and trained and developed others. And I didn't have my own EA. And I thought, I don't need one. I know everything about being an EA. But once I had my own EA, I had to contend with some of those same issues. Like, or I'd be like, well, I can do this. Why would I pay her to do that? I can do this. Why would I pay for something I can do myself? Except, again, who do I want to be 6 months from now, 3 months from now? Do I want to be the person who's on vacation sending her own invoices? You know, do I want to be that person who does all that research for that, you know, big party or something that I want to do? So it is I think it's a wrestling. I think you've got to experiment with letting go and see what happens. It is a risk. It feels like a little bit of a leap, but man, I tell you, once you do it, like there are certain things I will never, ever, ever, ever do myself again. I will never book airline tickets again for myself. It's such a time suck.
It really is. You know? Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned this idea too. Why would I pay someone to do what I can do myself? The reality is, wow, that's a lot to unpack, right? That is true for so many people. I already know how to do AutoCAD, so I'm not going to outsource it. But it's one of the simplest things in the world to outsource. And then you can free your time up to do the other wonderful thing you ought to be doing, but maybe are avoiding, like marketing or taking a former client out to lunch or dinner. So you keep your pipeline filled, right? Those are harder to outsource. So sometimes we even have to, we talked about the love it and loathe it list. Sometimes you have to take something off the love it list and give it to someone else just to free up your time.
Yeah. And I think we all want to be used for our highest and best use. So that's another list you could make. What is the highest and best use of me? What is the top dollar use of my time that I am the most trained for? I'm the most equipped for. It is the most my self-expression. If I could just spend my whole day doing this part of the business, that's what I want to do. Everything else, then you want to outsource over time. I mean, it might be a 5-year project, but I think of it like the surgeons, you know. Surgeon's highly trained, surgeon is highly paid, goes to the hospital, gets dressed for surgery, scrubs in, walks into the room, everything's ready, right? She's not cleaning instruments and she's not prepping the patient. She comes in, she does her high level work that she is the most highly, highly, highly paid to do and walks out and goes and plays golf or watches her kid's soccer game or does something else. Mm-hmm. But everything else is done. And that's just always kind of my image is what is my ideal day if I was like the surgeon? And what do I want to do the most? And what do I get paid the most to do? That is where my energy should go. And you're right about the things you love that you could just go have fun with for a few hours. And that's a few hours you could have been doing a much more top dollar activity.
I really like that visualization of the surgeon. I never heard it put like that, but that makes all the sense in the world. You want the operating room set up and ready to go when you walk in the door, and then you want to leave the mess for someone else to clean up. Because why? Because you're the boss, you're the expert. So you should be able to do that. You do have to invest a little bit of your time training the new hire. And would you say, I used to run into this trap. They would do something wrong or they would attempt to do something. I didn't give them enough information. Let's put it that way. They would give it their best and it wasn't quite what I needed. And I was always so rushed. I didn't have time to explain where the miscommunication was, how they could improve it. I would say something like, you know, great first try. I'm going to finish it and we'll talk about it another time. And I would just take that home in the evening or on the weekend, right? And I would get it done. And that's a huge missed opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. And I hate to say it, but it is the problems that are the biggest opportunity. So it is resisting that urge to say, I'm just going to take it and run with it. So again, keeping them as the owner. You know, my case, I'd say, Corrine, that's not quite right. So, you know, we need to go in this direction. And then here's another tip is I always say, what questions do you have for me? What? Not any questions? Anything else? right? That shuts it down. But if I say, what questions do you have for me? Somebody, a vendor or my EA or my staff have to look and go, well, what questions do I have for Gina? She asked me what questions I have. I should probably have a question. Let me think of what questions I have. Now they've got to do the critical thinking about it. And I'm a resource for them. And I tell them right up, and sometimes they apologize, right? Because especially executive assistants, they feel bad when they're using your time. So I've got to tell them, no, you need to use me. I'm your best resource. It's just you own it, right? And they used to, I play a lot of pickleball, play a ton of pickleball, like hundreds of thousands of people around the country. So I am often in between pickleball games, leaving messages, and they can hear the sound of pickleball in the background. And Corrine will always apologize. She'll go, I'm sorry. I know you're playing pickleball. I'm like, don't say sorry. Just you text me whatever questions you got any time of day. You just text me. I'll get back to you when it works for me. But I make her be the generator of the questions, of the concerns, which makes a big difference until she sorts. Now, when they hit the win, you got to also be like, that was it. That was awesome. That's exactly what I want. Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. And then next time you're going to get that a whole lot faster.
Yeah, there is something to be said too for that employee or independent contract, whatever, taking ownership of the project. They feel autonomous, they feel valued, they feel, you know, they're empowered to do their job, not be micromanaged.
Exactly, exactly. And people will say, I don't want to be micromanaged. Okay, good. Well, then you got to own this. But I'm also, you never get to abdicate your responsibility. So one of my managers, she took our whole entire payroll system onto Gusto about a year ago. And I knew she didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to do that. That was a huge project. But I said, you got to own this thing all the way through. And every time you hit a roadblock or a question or a concern, you come to me, you come to me, you come to me. Now, once that whole thing got transferred over, right, that's her win. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's her win, right? And I make sure everybody in the company knows that's her win. Gusto, so it was so awesome for us. Yay, Dorian. Thank you, Dorian. All of that. Now, I know I was her key player along the way, but totally what you said, it was her baby. And it's very satisfying for them.
It's hard, I think, because I'm going to speak for myself. Particularly when I was younger, I really wanted to be liked. And it was hard for me to be assertive and say, you did this correct, but this and this and this are not correct. And I need you to go back and give it another think, or here's some more information, see if that helps you make this better. But then you also have to be prepared that sometimes they're going to miss the mark and they're going to fail and they're going to make mistakes. And that is not usually the end of the world.
Right. That's right. And I'll tell you, when you start fresh, when you start a brand new relationship, it's super fun because they don't know you. They don't know how you are. You have an opportunity to be a whole new way with them than maybe you've ever been. So they don't know if you're shy or if you're confident or if you're sharp or if you're kind, or they don't really know that. They know a little bit from the interview with you, but that's about it. So I'm a big fan of just skip the honeymoon phase and get right to telling them exactly what you need, asking them exactly what they need, and tons, tons, tons of communication, more communication than you think they need. Yeah. There is a bit of a shifting of the spotlight from look at what I did, aren't I great, to making sure everybody, I'm over. We're done with me and my company. I mean, I will go and be interviewed and do some fun things like that. But everybody else in the company is now going to get the attention and the accolades and the what have you if this goes well. So there is a bit of a mindset shift there. But I also find that really fulfilling that inside my company, people rise up and they get the accolades and the joy and the accomplishment of it. And it's not, oh, we're all working for Gina. No, Gina's working for you. I want you to be a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some satisfaction. I think that's a good word for, there's a satisfaction in seeing those people succeed that, you know, and there's also satisfaction in being able to play pickleball if you want to 5 times
exactly.
a week. It sounds like whatever.
Exactly.
Works.
Yeah. And it sounds funny because it sounds, sometimes people also have a little problem bringing on board an executive assistant because it sounds bougie It sounds fancy. It sounds like, oh, well, my assistant will call you, you know. But it really does free you up to, yes, I go play pickleball, which is fun. People golf, people do whatever. But it sounds luxurious, and it is luxurious, but it also feeds me, feeds you mentally, physically, emotionally, so that then when the tough times do come and I got to have a meeting with my managers and I am operating as the CEO of a company, I am on. I am present. I feel good. I'm vital. But that is because I delegate enough work that I go take care of myself really well, so that when the CEO's got to go do the tough CEO stuff, she's on her game.
Mm-hmm. What are some top questions you think we should be thinking about as we are interviewing that executive assistant? And then maybe there's another name too. You know, I'm sure you don't have to call that person your assistant. In an interior design business, it could be, we have someone we call the finance administrator because she handles all the money and the, you know, dollars and payments to vendors, et cetera, et cetera. So she's our finance administrator. But I have an assistant that I use. I don't have a deeply personal relationship with my assistant. That's interesting because it is kind of all business.
And that's really okay too.
Yeah, that's okay. But what are some questions we might think about as we're considering hiring this person?
I would ask them, you know, what they know about what you're going to have them do. Right? Do you use Trello? Do you use Asana? Do you use... whatever all the software is, I would definitely ask them their familiarity with all of that. I would throw some challenges at them and real world, right? I would just look back over the last 3 months, like what has been a tricky situation, you know, and how would they handle it? Because I'm looking for, can people think?
Mm-hmm.
Can they think? And how willing and ready are they to learn? So I also inquire with people about their ability to be coached and corrected again, so I can take that weight off of myself that I have to now be cautious and careful and worry about them. I don't want to. I appreciate them. I'm here to honor them. But I really, if you did something wrong, I want the freedom to say, I don't want it done like that. I want it done like this. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And not have that turn into some drama for a week. Just, we're not going left anymore. We're going right. So I would, if you like that style, if you want that amount of freedom to be really straight with people, I would share that with them in the interview.
Well, I'm thinking I would make somebody try to find me a flight to Sun Valley because you can't, I don't think you can get there direct from where we need to go. You get to Boise, I think, but not even direct. Toronto. I don't think you can even go to Boise direct. It's kind of a pain. Every time my girlfriend says, come see me, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a lot of, you know, maneuvering.
That's a very good idea. And when we vet and screen people, it's like a 6-5-6-7 step process. And one of the end processes is we do make them do 5 different exercises. And one of them is travel booking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can think of a couple things to have them actually go do, actually perform all the way up to the point where they don't actually spend your money on booking the flight.
Mm-hmm.
But in our flight scenario is very similar. It's Seattle to somewhere in Roanoke, Virginia, somewhere over there. And it was a real scenario I had once upon a time. And we put in constraints. What time is the meeting that I need to be there for? It was actually our very first client when I was an EA, and he was a CrossFitter. So I also wanted to figure out where the CrossFit gyms were near this place where he was going to have a meeting. And by when did he need to get home? In time for home, meaning all the way back across the country, in time for his daughter's soccer game. So if you can come up with a scenario where they've got to work through something, then you can see how they think. But we also do that so that they can try out, do you think you'd like this?
Yeah. Right.
I'd like to kind of make the interview phase not very dreamy. We make it kind of tough because we're trying to illuminate what you might not like about being here, not just how great it would be. Of course, everybody's putting on their very best performance in the interview vetting screening process.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would definitely come up with, even if you can't have them physically do it, you could have them talk you through a scenario. You know, listen, I just had this challenge last month. What would you have done about that?
I think tests are really important in an interview situation. I think you learn a lot about that person. I also think at the end of the interview, before you've offered them a job, if you can create some kind of social interaction, sometimes people let their hair down and you see a different side of them as well. So that can be kind of interesting. I hear a lot of designers say, I want someone to answer my emails. How realistic is that with an EA? How realistic is they're gonna, is it that they will understand the various emails you get and how to respond?
Yeah, that's an overtime thing. Okay, let me answer that. I'm gonna say one more thing about the vetting, screening, interviewing process. To your point about the social, if you can drag that process out over, say, a couple weeks, mm-hmm. and include texts and include emails, include the different ways you want to communicate, over time, people will stop putting on that show for you. And you will start to go, oh, they weren't quite on time for that call with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, that text was really weird. I don't really like getting texts like that. But if you can, that's why we have like a 6 or 7 phase process. Even if you just do a 15-minute call here, a 20-minute this here, throw a curveball at them. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got to go take my dog to the vet. Can we reschedule? Mm-hmm. How gracious are they with you? Are they annoyed? How do they handle what you throw at them in the process? So,
interesting. Oh, okay.
So that's just some more tips seeing how people are going to be with you before you hire them. Okay, email. Email's great. Some EAs will simply create a better email filing system for you and do some of that filing for you so that when you wake up and you look at your inbox, it's not like Facebook and you're just like gone for an hour, right? The inbox is not a great place to be. It's another big time waster because it's not giving you what is the most important thing for you to work on right now. So you want to be doing what's the most important thing for you to work on. So some EAs will clear out your inbox for you so that what is left in your inbox actually needs you, mm-hmm. or train you, don't look in your inbox. You should only go to the Kimberly 123 folder because in there is where there are people who actually need you. And that's the highest and best use of you. Mm. So sometimes there's a sorting process that will help. Now that's kind of an intermediate step before they get to become somebody who might respond on your behalf, mm-hmm. or you might introduce them to the world and say, listen, when you get an email from Tanya, no, she's my assistant. This is what we're doing to respond to you as fast as we can. And please know she's speaking on behalf of me.
Interesting. Okay. That's good too. Yeah. I always kind of wondered about that. I'm super anal about my inbox. I know exactly what's in there and it's only actionable items, but I could see if you're that person who hasn't had that figured out, it was a game changer. Once I figured out how to do that, that would make a huge, huge difference. Okay. So it's very likely if you're listening and you've always thought, I really wish I had an assistant, it's very likely that most or at least some of those tasks can be billed to clients because you would be doing that work instead. So perhaps it's way more affordable than you have imagined up until now. And maybe this is exactly the moment you're going to do it. I'd be very excited for you if that's true. Gina, we like to end every episode with something we call design intervention. It's just a great piece of advice you want to leave everybody with.
Yeah. So knowing your conversion rate makes a huge difference in terms of your sales process. Absolutely. There was a time in my company when we were starting to dip and I just tried to really, and I didn't want to track how many leads did I have? How many conversations did it take to create a lead? How many leads did I need to have to turn into a client? But doing that critical thinking makes a profound difference. I even think just energetically, it's like you start to get that serious about it. It's like the world starts to align with you just a little more in terms of sending you clients.
I love that you brought that up, being that energetically that would be the case. It seems like that's something you could also let your executive assistant manage for you and just give you the top line, let you look at the like overarching views once she's done the analytics.
Absolutely. And she can run the software that will feed that to you. And, data, garbage in, garbage out. She's also got to put good data in, right? So that's absolutely something I turn over to an assistant.
Tell everybody, Gina, how we can get in touch with you and how we can use your company.
Yeah, you can go to our website, which is athenaexecutiveservices.com. So you can learn all about us there. And there's buttons all over the place on there that say, you know, do you want to learn more about having a virtual assistant? And if you click on there, you're going to get connected with a woman named Jennifer Tracy, and she'll set up a call with you and just kind of learn what your symptoms are, learn what's going on with you. She's a great industry resource. She just recently did a bunch of secret shopping, so she can tell you all kinds of stuff about the industry at large. So if we're not a fit, she'll probably know where to like send you, or she'll say, you know what, we'd be a good fit for you in a year or in 6 months or in 2 weeks or something like that. If you want to find me directly, you can just go to LinkedIn and you'll find me out on LinkedIn, Gina Cotner, and happy to connect with you. I stay on top of the messages that come to me there as well.
Or on a pickleball court.
That's right. That's
right. Haven't tried it yet. I have friends who play tennis and they've been bugging me. So I barely started playing tennis, and they have forbidden me from playing pickleball until I learned how to play tennis a little bit, because they said, you're just going to switch and we'll lose you. And I can feel the pull of the pickleball. Like I can feel it because it looks so fun and social.
Exactly. That's a big part of why it's grown so fast. Yes, yes, yes.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Gina. Thanks for this conversation, and get back to the court.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.